from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, July 25th. I'm Abby Larico. Two Republicans are running to become Missouri's next attorney general. That includes current office holder Andrew Bailey. To get on the ballot in November, he must beat fellow candidate Will Scharf. Throughout the campaign, both Bailey and Scharf have consistently mentioned their ties to former President Donald Trump.
At this point in our political cycle, tying yourself to Donald Trump can be a real boon in the Republican primary.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg breaks down the race coming up on The Gateway. More than two dozen people are accusing the Archdiocese of St. Louis of knowingly enabling and concealing its employees' sexual abuse of minors over the course of decades. Lawyers filed a lawsuit Wednesday in St. Louis Circuit Court on behalf of 25 unnamed people. It includes dozens of pages of details of abuses they say they were subjected to as children by the Catholic Church's priests and nuns. Plaintiffs are seeking a jury trial to consider a list of charges, including childhood sexual abuse, fraud, and aiding and abetting. The suit also claims the governing body of the local Catholic Church transferred predatory clergy members to different parishes rather than take legal action. Archbishop Mitchell Rosansky is also named as a defendant in his capacity as leader of the Archdiocese. Most of the plaintiffs still live in Missouri. As of Thursday morning, the Archdiocese has not yet responded to the lawsuit. After a St. Louis Circuit Court judge overturned Christopher Dunn's conviction earlier this week, the Missouri Supreme Court has put a hold on the ruling. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
Christopher Dunn will remain in prison after the Missouri Supreme Court entered a last-minute stay Wednesday evening, essentially pausing a St. Louis Circuit Court ruling that overturned his conviction on Monday. Dunn has been in custody for more than 33 years after he was convicted of murder and assault in 1991. St. Louis Circuit Judge Jason Sangheiser found the evidence was lacking and that Dunn was innocent. Sangheiser ordered the prison to release Dunn by 6 p.m. Wednesday, but the move was blocked by Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who received help from the higher court in pausing Dunn's release. Dunn's legal team says they'll continue fighting for his freedom and that the Supreme Court ruling does not reflect justice. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis County Council chairwoman is calling an investigation into alleged improper payments to county council members a deflection. Chairwoman Shalonda Webb says County Executive Sam Page's investigation is a, quote, unsolicited and unwarranted attack on roughly 50 employees. The probe involves overpayments to at least three employees. That includes Auditor Tony Jackson, who is alleged to have received pay raises she wasn't supposed to. Webb says whistleblower claims about overpayments are not true. However, she did say authorized raises and cost of living adjustments were given to employees. The county council will complete its own investigation into the claims. Page said in a statement that he's asking for records to be turned over to investigators by the end of the week. An investigation is underway following a fight at the St. Louis City Justice Center Wednesday. A spokesperson says corrections staff were alerted to a distress call from a corrections officer. A reported disturbance between inmates in a pod became physical. Four inmates were injured and transported to local hospitals to be evaluated. It's unclear what caused the injuries. More people in the St. Louis region are working than ever before. That's according to a report from the U.S. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics. It shows that employment in the 14-county region rose by more than 2% in the last year, surpassing the national rate of 1.7%. But job growth was greatest in the Metro East, where employment in Madison County increased by 3%. Tony Furman is director of Madison County Employment and Training. He says manufacturing, hospitality, and retail companies are hiring more people.
We're not seeing a whole bunch of new construction or anything that would lead to that. I just think it's current employers that are bringing in new employees, probably across the board.
In St. Louis, the available workforce grew by 4,000 people. The number of people looking for work increased, but stayed below the national rate of 4.1%. A cement company with a manufacturing plant in Missouri will receive over $1 million in federal support to report and reduce carbon emissions from construction manufacturing. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports it's through one of the Environmental Protection Agency's latest efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
The EPA says construction materials account for more than 15% of annual global greenhouse gas emissions. Wholesome US is one of 38 organizations to receive funding. Its St. Genevieve cement plant is the biggest of its kind in the US. Jill Benoit is Wholesome's Senior Manager of Grants, ESG Policy, and Public Affairs. She says it's important for construction manufacturers to be aware of the effect they have on the environment.
It's all for reducing our carbon footprint. We're such a big emitter and we're trying to do our part. This money really goes a long way in helping us further strengthen those commitments.
Benoit says the funding will increase transparency on the company's environmental emissions and demand for lower carbon construction materials. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
Boaters and Mississippi River observers may notice some new islands and sandbars near Grafton. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the Army Corps of Engineers is using the material dredged from the bottom of the river to create temporary land.
The Army Corps regularly dredges the bottom of the river. The agency is mandated by Congress to keep a clear shipping channel. Normally, the sediment sucked up from the riverbed ends up near the shoreline. Instead, the Army Corps opted to create temporary islands and sandbars. It may provide a new habitat for local wildlife, and Christine Favila of the Sierra Club says that's a better alternative for the dredged sediment.
Reusing that instead of putting it on the shoreline where it actually may be problematic to different fish and turtles, species, mussel beds, for instance, I believe is a good practice.
The mayor of Grafton says it's also good for recreational boaters who have a new spot to stop at. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
There are two Republicans running for Missouri Attorney General, including the current office holder. Andrew Bailey, who Governor Mike Parson appointed to the position in 2022, faces Will Scharf in the August 6th primary. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, in the middle of a contentious campaign, former President Donald Trump looms large.
When Governor Mike Parson picked Andrew Bailey to be Missouri's next Attorney General, he was serving as general counsel for Parson's office.
I served with Governor Parson for just about 4 years, happened to be in the right place at the right time when my predecessor Eric Schmidt was elected to the United States Senate.
Scharf is also no stranger to Missouri politics. He served as a policy director for former Governor Eric Greitens. Scharf says while Parson made his choice for Attorney General, Missouri voters also deserve a choice.
Friends of mine approached me about running. Said that they thought it was really time to shake up Jefferson City and get more conservative outsiders as opposed to establishment politicians and establishment people into office.
Anita Mannion is an assistant professor of political science for the University of Missouri-St. Louis. She says while this is the first campaign for both candidates, Bailey being the current office holder has an advantage.
Particularly what we've seen from the Attorney General's office in the last several years is that office holder, whether it's Eric Schmidt or Andrew Bailey, can really use that position and their lawsuits to get a lot of publicity and name recognition.
There aren't stark differences between Bailey and Scharf when it comes to policy. Both of them are against transgender minors receiving gender-affirming care like puberty blockers. They also both disagree with a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision that ruled against Missouri and other states, which sued over how far the federal government can go to combat posts from social media companies. Because of the similarities in policy, the race instead has focused on other aspects, including Bailey's track record as Attorney General. Bailey says decisions he's made in the office have created tangible results, and that includes his legal actions to oust then-St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner that he says is the reason she ultimately stepped down in 2023.
Clearly, the circumstances indicate that she resigned because of the lawsuit, because she was about to be ordered to sit for deposition and have to turn over mountains of discovery.
Scharf's criticisms are less of where Bailey stands on issues and more of how he's run the Attorney General's office.
Every time there's an issue that's getting press, that's getting media, that's trending on Twitter, he inserts his office into that issue, usually quite clumsily, grabs a bunch of media attention, and then moves on to the next issue.
There is also a third figure in this race whose presence is inescapable, and that's former President Donald Trump. Both Bailey and Scharf have touted their support for and connections with Trump. Bailey filed a lawsuit against New York over the criminal case against the former president, where he was found guilty on 34 counts. He says Missouri has standing because the conviction amounts to election interference.
Their goal and ambition was never to obtain a legally valid conviction of the president. It was always to take him off the campaign trail, and that harms Missourians.
Scharf has his own connections to Trump. He is a part of Trump's legal team and has mentioned that relationship throughout the campaign.
having that relationship with them to the extent that there is conflict between Missouri and the federal government. I'd hope that that would be beneficial, that I could get on the phone with him, get on the phone with his top advisors, and help the state of Missouri that way.
Trump has yet to issue an endorsement in this race. Mannion says she expects both candidates to continue to highlight Trump connections as much as they can.
At this point in our political cycle, tying yourself to Donald Trump can be a real boon in the Republican primary. And Missouri is certainly a state that has voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump.
Whoever wins the primary will face Democrat Elad Gross in November. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can read all of our reporting about the August primary by going to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.